Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Land. I am Andy. I kind of fumbled our name there. That's kind of sad. I mean, it's only the 10th episode. Why should I know what we're called? Today, we'll be finishing The Eye of the World, chapters 47 through the end. What did you think, Wendy?
Is where they gave definitions and, like, said who was what and kind of gave a little bit more of, like, some of those questions that I've been asking.
Yes. Yes. A little bit of a glossary and things like that, so.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. So, they do that in every book, I believe, so. But I may be wrong on that. I don't remember.
So, was it Eye of the World that you were asking me what I thought it was? Or
yes.
Or was it the Wheel of Time?
It was the Eye of the World.
Okay.
Well, as long as you feel you can give yourself a little bit of credit. You might not have said that it was a big pool of sightseeing.
No.
There's absolutely zero.
But it had like I could view it as like a thing of
fun. Right.
Well, maybe not showing something like, but I thought it was a source of some sort of power.
Right. You weren't that far off. Had you gotten it exactly right, I would have said, Wendy, you read ahead, you cheater. That is what we do. All right. Anything else before we get started? Okay, let's start then. Chapter 47, titled More Tales of the Wheel. All right, so Lan and Moraine interrogated Patton Fane, guy who never seems to go away. Though we don't get to see the interrogation, which makes me sad. It would have been fun to kind of see what they came up with, so. Or what they asked him, how he responded. So,
yeah.
So the rest of the group was waiting for them to return, and Egwene asked Aglamar about Lan and the Golden Crane and the Lord of the Seven Towers and what all that means and, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Aglamar told him about Malkier and about their royal families. He mentioned that Lan's uncle, Lane, was rode into the Blight with all of his lances in search of Shale Gold Duel to try to destroy the Dark One, the you know, Shaitan. And he never returned, which badly weakened the defenses of Malkier. Then his wife, Bran, blamed the king, Al-Akir. Thanks for making things easy to pronounce.
Exactly.
For his death. And then as retribution, she helped to send Malkier into a civil war, which kind of destroyed the country. And then they brought Trollocs in and Fades and finished it off. So not a pretty story.
No.
But the king, before his death, did package Lan up, his infant son, and saved him. So he was...
Right.
So he's technically the last king of Malkier. So,
yeah. So he definitely gave a better story of, like, kind of explained who Lan was when I was asking you, like, could you explain it?
Right, exactly.
It did come. Well, would you find out more?
That's why I don't like to give too many answers. Like,
yeah.
If I'll give answers if I feel like you should know it by this point, but if they're not just going to explain it anyway, well, you want to see that on paper. You don't want to already know what's coming. You know,
right.
I mean,
right. And, so. And it was really telling, you know, and that they had wrapped him up and sent him to safety. Like, what was it? It was like 10 people that went with them, and there were only three
right.
that survived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was complete destruction of an entire nation. So.
Yeah. And even his mother was killed.
Yeah, they all were. Yeah,
they
absolutely.
All, it was just those three that survived, and you know, that kind of shape, it tells you, kind of help explain why he is.
Yes, and Lan learned the sword from the time he was, like, if he could stand, he learned the sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I
yeah,
mean, he's...
Sword.
He is probably, arguably, the best swordsman in this entire world. So,
yeah,
not the guy you want pulling out his sword and looking at you and saying, "You ready?"
No, he was taught by the best of the best.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because those three who survived had to have been the best of the best.
Interestingly enough, though, Lan's sword is a better sword than Lan's, because yes, they're both power rock. They were both made using the power, but he has the heron on his. Rance would sell for $1 million and Lance would only sell for $750,000, you know, or whatever their, I guess, gold and Andorran weight instead.
Yes.
All right. So Moraine returned and she said that Fane is worse than a dark friend and is responsible for bring in the Trollocs to the Two Rivers, among other things. He followed them to Shatter Logoth, and he lost the Trollocs and Fades that were kind of torturing him there, but picked up a different kind of evil from that city, which makes him far worse. So
right. And that he's also been a dark friend for years. Like, we didn't
Oh, yes, yes.
Like that he's been a dark friend for longer than we ever thought, like almost since his beginning, and he's always been looking for those three.
Yes, there was absolutely so much more to him than we could have ever thought, especially at the beginning of the story where he's just a peddler, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, this guy's much worse, much
but
worse.
It's funny because, like, we always thought that, you know, as a peddler, like, even in the beginning, we thought, well, he's a little bit full of himself,
right?
You know,
right, what a cocky bastard.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is looking back on the
opposite. You know what I find humorous? And it's not just this story. I've read it in lots of fantasy stories where you have, you know, the good versus evil as the primary
right.
storyline. The evil side, I don't know why anybody would ever want to join them. Their lives are never good.
No,
never.
They're not.
Like, they only get worse once they join the dark side. And of course, they're told, you know, oh, I'll give you everything. They never get it. They never get what they're promised, ever.
And it also explains why he went crazier and crazier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it was like something got released in him that made, because the darkness, like, kind of overwhelmed him. And that's why, you know, before it was just a light touch of darkness.
Right.
Like, he was a dark friend. But then, after he them or after their power was kind of released in some sense because they came of age, that kind of released something else in Padden Fane.
Right.
So that's what made him go.
Well, and the evil from Shatter Logoth, the evil that was in Matt as well. It's not the same as the evil from the Dark One. It's a completely separate evil.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like werewolves versus vampires or, you know, I mean, like where you kind of think of them in the same grouping, but they're not the same thing. You know, I mean.
Right. And like, we know that Shatter of Logoth and the shadow makes people go crazy.
That it does.
But because he was a dark friend, like, it was working with him. Like, that's why he didn't go so crazy and it didn't, like, eat him up. It was, like, helping him finish his mission, I guess, in a sense.
Yep. And it seems like the crazier that it makes you go, almost the more powerful it makes you as well. So.
Exactly.
Or more evil, but more able to use that evil. I don't know how to put it better than that, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So that what I found funny out of this whole scene is Moraine coming back like, I need a bath. Like, that was disgusting, and I never want to have to deal with that guy again. So
exactly.
It's like, how can a conversation with somebody be that disgusting that you need a bath afterwards? It's like, that's great.
Exactly.
That tells you, especially since you have to think she's not exactly not world traveled.
She's not exactly, you know, a country bumpkin.
Yes,
she's a little bit worldly.
She's seen some stuff. So
yeah,
you find out later in today's reading that she's seen the blight before. You know, she's been through all that. So
exactly. This isn't her first rodeo.
Exactly. So speaking of the blight, she kind of ends the chapter by saying that she'll be leaving for the Blight in the morning, and she doesn't want Agrimar's men coming with her for the 300th time. It's like, no, I don't want your men. They're not invited. I'm just going to take my little country bumpkins here with me, and we'll be fine. The sheep herders.
The sheep herders, exactly. Yeah.
Come on, sheep herder. Let's go. Moraine's waiting. So yeah. Overarching thoughts on 47.
Basically covered it.
I think we did too, but I'd like to give you that last word just in case I missed something. So.
Aww, you're so sweet.
I know, I tell you. All right, chapter 48, titled The Blight. So our party heads for the Blight that next morning, just like Moraine said they would. Mm-hmm. And Agrimar leads his lances to Tarwin's Gap to fight the Trollocs that are amassing down there. And the citizens of Faldara that are not headed to the Gap, not the clothing store, but Tarwin's Gap, they headed for Falmoran, which is the capital city. So basically, they're all headed out there, and they're thinking that they're going to lose. They're like, we're just going to try to slow them down some, but we're in trouble. So,
And it's funny how they all, like, everyone's a fighter.
Okay. Yeah, as you, yeah, when you get to the, because they have reason to be, you know, I mean, in the Borderlands, you have to face evil every day. So you have to know what you're doing, or they're going to sneak up and steal your kids.
Exactly.
I don't know about stealing your kids, but you know what I mean. So they enter the Blight, and they cross into what was once Malkier, and Lan, like, refuses to look at the towers, you know. But Rand sees him, and Nynaeve sees him, everybody sees him, but he's acting like he doesn't know that they're walking through Malkier. And as I kind of hit that point, the cold air becomes a damp heat. Doesn't really matter, except for its significance, saying, okay, now you've actually hit the Blight. So.
And what I thought was strange is that, like, I could imagine it felt like it was muggy, like swampy.
Yes.
But how they would sometimes get a cold breeze that would chill them to the bone, but then be gone.
Yeah, yeah, that was weird.
Was really weird.
Almost like it's not completely evil, that the sign of the creator is still trying to push its way in, is how I took that, but, you know.
Well, I thought that froze it. Like, I thought that was almost.
I guess.
That because it's like if you're cold, you know, you're in a swampy, yucky place, and then you get this bone-chilling breeze that comes through. It's like, okay, what's worse?
Yeah, I may oversimplify things, but I kind of took it as the plain old good versus evil. And if the evil is the heat, then the good must be the cold, the reverse. You know, I mean, so, but that's just me. There's no further explanation on that. So
yeah. Yeah.
You know, we all can decide what we want ourselves.
Exactly. Your opinion is just as valid as mine.
That's right. It's good that you know that. All right.
Except when it's wrong.
It never is, because it's an opinion, and they are like buttholes.
Everybody has one.
That's right. Some of us have more than one. Like my dog and cat. But all right, so Lan warns the group not to touch anything. He tells his story about the little stick. I'm a stick.
Oh, yeah.
But and how it'll kill you. Like, everything there can kill you. It doesn't matter what it is. Touch nothing, sheep herders. But But yes, so and you get the idea that Land has been here a lot. This is not anywhere near his first rodeo. Yeah, he was more or less born in the Blight. I mean, yeah. his birthplace is in the Blight now. So
yeah, exactly. So, yeah. It's overtaken by the Blight. So like on the borderland, over by the exactly how bad it is.
Exactly. Yeah, that like you know if they weren't from Andor, they wouldn't have to be told.
Right. Exactly.
So they end up stopping for the night, and Moraine set a ward that warns if creatures of the Dark One come near. Yes. And I found that interesting because she didn't set a ward like to keep them away, because she said that they could sense that and it would only draw them near.
Right.
So she just set warning wards, like if any of them come near, we'll know. So.
Yeah.
And she also, I think, mentions that you can't set more than one ward at once. Like, you can only have one ward up at once, which I thought was weird, so.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So Rand has problems falling asleep, and he overheard a conversation between Nynaeve and Lan. And Lan basically, again, refusing to marry her and saying he won't make her a widow. And Nynaeve ends up crying and kind of sad. So.
Yes, it's interesting to realize that Lan has feelings for Nynaeve as well.
Absolutely does. Yeah, there's no question. It's not only a one-sided thing, but
exactly.
And the way Nynaeve started and her personality in general, it was kind of amazing to me that she could have so many feelings for such big feelings for somebody. You know, right. I mean, it's not, that doesn't seem like Nynaeve, but you can see that she's a person too. She can have those right. feelings. So that's kind of cool.
I can't remember, do wisdoms usually marry?
No.
And the thing is wards usually never marry.
Not unless they marry their Aes Sedai, correct. And right. that's usually the greens, not the blues. So.
Yeah. So it's very, you know, it's like fighting a losing battle.
Right. They're both on a side that it doesn't happen, but she desperately wants it, he wants it, but won't allow it. So yeah, you wonder whether it's the chase that she likes. Isn't that how relationships work? Anything else on chapter 48? I didn't have a whole lot for 48.
The only thing that I thought was interesting was like in the water, because yeah, they're like, oh, yes. You go down near the water, and then like the huge monster that was in it that looked like it, at, you know, like its arms were like the size of humans or whatever.
And it actually had like fingers and
yes,
yeah, so ugh, creepy. I believe that was done in a Star Wars movie and also in Lord of the Rings as well. A very similar situation, except for in both of those it grabbed somebody and then they had to rescue that person. But not that big of a deal, but a very similar thing, except for they were always like worm-like or snake-like
yeah.
creatures. And
like in Dune. Mm-hmm. Look at the sand.
Well, and I was going to bring that up, that it's kind of disappointing that they had worms in this, because again, Dune had them, Star Wars had them. It's like these things had them before him, and it's like, come on, man, be more creative. But I get it. Maybe so. They don't really, you never really see them.
I imagine it was more like a centipede.
You just know they're coming after you. So, And the worms are coming after you at later, and you don't want them to catch you. Exactly. And you wonder about that up in the mountain passes that the worms won't go into because whatever's up there scares them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do we really want to be where the worms are scared? That's pleasant. Yeah, you can't kill the worms, but you don't want to, they're scared to be up there. So that what are you going into?
Like,
why are we going up there? Right, exactly. The enemy of my enemy is my bigger enemy. All right, I'll read that later. Anything else on chapter 48? All right.
Like the traveling chapters.
Yes, exactly. And then 49 kind of is as well. And then 50 kind of is as well. And then when we get into 51, we actually get some action again. So,
yeah.
So 49, titled The Dark One Stirs. That's not ominous at all. Our group wakes up in the morning again, and they're moving. And they're headed towards the Mountain of Doom. Speaking of not only ominousness, is that a real word? And... straight theft from Lord of the Rings as well, but that's okay. He never said that he didn't. He wanted this to be kind of Lord of the Rings-ish, so, and that's kind of, when he wrote...
You guys are walking it up like they
right.
Lord of the Rings.
Well, when he wrote this, for the most part, epic fantasy was a ripoff of the Lord of the Rings. That's what it was. You had the Lord of the Rings as your kind of template of how you write epic fantasy, and that's what people did. As you move farther into the series, you'll see he veers way away from that, so which I like. So that's why I don't put this book at the top of the books in this, because it's kind of like, okay, here's your standard epic fantasy tale, and then it branches out, and it's like, this is what I wanted to read this for. So but I do like this book. I like this book way more than a few of them in the middle, so, which you get to read as well. They get further into the Blight, and the corruption gets worse and worse and more evident the farther in they get. So it just gets worse and worse and worse the more they walk, which is just, I mean, that's pleasant. That's great.
It seems like it gets kind of more swampy. Not swampy, but like... mushy with the leaves and the rot and everything like that.
Well, my brain is not in the right place today, but every time you mention swampy, I think of Yoda's homeland, or where he hides out from from Darth Vader and the Emperor.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I keep thinking swampy, but it's not really swamp, because there's no, like, not water, but
yeah,
it's just, like, mushy and, like, the rotting leaves, and it's, like, I guess it's almost like going through a rainforest.
Yeah, like a rainforest desert, almost. Like a combination of the two.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's hard to explain it, but like I can picture it in my mind.
A rainforest without the water.
Yes.
So.
Just the rot.
Where everything, you don't even get squirrels. Everything there wants to kill you. If there are squirrels, they're going to kill you.
Or at least the rainforest side.
Probably not. I've never been in a rainforest. I'd like to go to a rainforest.
They have lots of beaches, though.
Oh, yeah. Makes me think of, what was the Rob Reiner movie from the 80s? They went swimming in the little pond and ended up with leeches all over themselves. Stand By Me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, these were, like, because when I lived in Malaysia, there's a lot of rainforests there. And we were hiking in them. Mm-hmm. And the leeches were, like, little... They looked like inchworms. They were tiny little black things. And I remember going, and, like, they would stick to you, and then, like, they would, like, stick to your leg or your ankle or whatever, and they'd stick out, like, perpendicular, and then, like, look where they could attach the other side to them, and, like, it freaked me out.
That's creepy.
So, like, yeah, it is creepy. And you're not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm no insectologist, but it's my understanding that, they have like a, as they're attaching themselves, they're injecting you with something that makes you numb.
Yeah,
so,
so they easily suck your blood. So like I'm seeing these things on me and I'm running through the freaking forest. I'm like, get it off my get off me.
And meanwhile, those from there are like, well, in the work.
And it's like, it's still bleeding. And like, I'm wearing flip flops at that point, you know, I take a shower. And the blood is just going through because it really, like, it anticoagulates. So what we found is you put this eucalyptus oil on it, and it would stop the bleeding.
Interesting.
But they were the grossest, nastiest things. So, like, the hiking boots that I got, they used to breathe. They had little holes in them. And it freaked me out because the leeches could get in there. So I had to get leather.
Well, see, and almost the worst part, at least for me, I've never dealt with leeches, but I play disc golf some. And you play out in, like, long grass, and if you suck like I do, you end up throwing it into the trees, and you have to go find your disc in the trees and things like that.
Uh-huh.
You end up with ticks. Yes, but the worst was not finding a tick and removing it. It was, oh my God, I wonder if I have ticks anywhere else on me where I can't see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, do I have this big old tick on my back that's just, like, feeding on me?
Don't you spray deep on or something like that? Because don't you get Lyme disease from ticks?
Oh, you can. You definitely can. Yeah,
because my dad has Lyme disease.
Oh, really?
From all the hiking that he does.
What?
88-year-old father who still goes hiking.
I think that's fantastic.
It's gotten worse. Like, gotten it and he's re-gotten it, and it's horrible.
So I already told you that I went to my step nephew's 8th grade graduation yesterday, but at the little after party, and at the graduation, but his 82-year-old grandfather or great-grandfather, one of the two, was there.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't have put, I wouldn't put him a day past 70. I mean, it was just like, it is so cool to see, you know, somebody who's at the age where you think they're, you know, you think, well, they're 80-something years old, they can probably barely even move, and they can't remember what they're doing, just to be in good shape, you know, walking with a cane, but walking normal speed, not slowing anybody down, you know, I mean, just, it's awesome. I'd like to be that when I get to be that age.
Yeah, no, I swear, I think it's because my dad walks he used to walk about 7 miles a day. He says he's slowing down, so now he only walks between 3 to 5 miles a day.
Wow, that's insane.
At 88 years old.
That's about, I try to do that. About 4 or 5 times a week, I walk 3 to 5, 6 on the long ones with the dog.
We'll see.
And I get home, and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of worn out. And the dog's like, hey, let's go again. That was our appetizer,
see,
right?
You would do really well in one of these, you know, adventures. You'd be able to walk.
I'm not so sure I'd do so well in these adventures. So my personality doesn't really fit the stuck with the same group full time.
Hey, you're just like Matt. You would do just fine.
Maybe. Yeah, Matt's done so well in this book, hasn't he? of all the characters, main characters in this book, he's been the most well done.
Maybe the comic rebanding.
I could try.
I tell you what, I would walk the Camino in Spain with you. You would be the comic relief.
You know, my longest walk with my dog was a little over 12 miles.
Okay.
It was a complete accident. It was when I first moved here, and we ended up going over a bridge that ended up being like half mile itself, and I did not realize what I was getting into, and then I got lost on my way back. And yeah, we walked about 12 miles. We picked up another dog in the process, found his owner, gave him back. So I actually took off my sweatshirt I was wearing and took the arms of the sweatshirt and made like a little leash, or a, what do you put around a dog's neck? Collar and leash out of the sweatshirt so the dog would follow us. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, good times.
But have you ever heard of the Camino trails in Spain?
Sounds familiar, but no.
They're, I guess they were Catholic pilgrimage trails.
Okay.
And I did one part way with my sister, friends, and my dad a couple of years ago. I think about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And we did almost 100 miles.
Oh, wow.
And we did it where someone would move our bags, like take our bags out of the hotel or whatever that we stayed at, our little inn. But you just did the hike. But at one point, I ran across these Irish people because, like, I walked faster than my sister. And they were, like, stopping at all the different pubs along the way. I'm like, hey, I'm going to hang with you for a little bit.
That's funny.
And my sister's like, Wendy, you're supposed to be hiking, not drink. This is not a pub crawl. And I'm like...
That's not stereotypical at all right there. The Irish guys were stopping at the pubs.
But it's beautiful because you go between all these different villages and there's like these signposts and you just follow it. It's just really pretty, but they, like, some of the trails are like 80 miles, but it's just really cool. And some people just bring their backpacks.
How many days did it take you to do like 100 miles?
I only did 7 days with them. They did 13 days.
Wow. See, I want to go to South America. I'd like to see the rainforest down there and the, like in Peru, the ancient cities, the Mayan and Incan cities and stuff like that. I think it would just, and the pyramids and stuff like that that they have down there. I would just love to see all that, so. Plus, that's where, you know, the ancient aliens were and stuff, so. All right,
we digress.
Just a bit. All right, so they're attacked by creatures of the Blight, and they fight back for a while, and then they realize that it's not working, that there's more showing up the more they fight back. So they run. they man up, and they go, run away! So just as they're about to be caught and overwhelmed, the creatures retreat, which is not ominous in any way whatsoever. And yeah. Lan hears worms approaching. So he says, okay, we were running. Now let's run faster.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
He tells them that they need to get to the mountain pass, which we were talking about before, so because the worms fear whatever lives there, which is ominous times 100.
And the one thing that we also forgot to mention, though, is that the Eye of the World moves.
Yes. Yeah, that should be brought up before we get there. That the Eye of the World is not in the same place every time.
They're going, but they're not sure where exactly.
Yep, and we're getting ready to find the Eye of the World, but last time that Moraine found it, it was on the other side of the mountain.
Right.
So yeah, it follows need. When you need it, it'll be there. So right along those lines, absolutely. For copyright reasons, I don't want to say exactly what she said, but what? All right. So they cross one last rise, and the Blight's gone, and there's the Green Man. And I'm picturing the Green Giant from the peas packages, frozen peas.
I still think he looks more like Root.
Yeah, I suppose you're probably right, but that's not going
to
make me...
I took license.
I think there's probably some accuracy there. And actually, every one of these characters, like the Green Man, there's historical reference for it. So he took it from, you know, hundreds of years ago, something that somebody believed. So the Green Man greets them, some of them one at a time. Doesn't really talk necessarily strongly to Matt or Nynaeve or, you know, Egwene, but But he recognized Moraine, and it's like, how did you find me again? You should only be able to find me once. And that's when she brings up Need. He greets Loyal as a tree brother, which I think is kind of cool. Perrin as a wolf brother, which I believe is the first time we've heard that term. It kind of sticks, but that's the first time we really heard wolf brother. And then he talks to Rand about the people of the dragon and stuff like that. And Rand doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. Right. What do you know what he's talking about at all?
I'm thinking that realizes that I don't know, you know, because I know that Luz Thrawn killed all of his family, but I think that he's realizing that Rand might be the dragon reborn.
See, I see it more as him recognizing Rand or seeing Rand as just an Aielda. Because everything he's throwing out there, aside from some of them, which are kind of, they don't really necessarily describe it, but, and I'm trying to find it. I didn't have my digital copy open, so let me go to chapter 49. That's why I like having the digital copy, because I can just type in chapter 49 and it goes right there. All right, let's get to where we, there we are. It's always where it is, so we're there. There's Rand. Strange clothes you wear, child of the dragon. So, yes, you're right. I guess I just skipped over that in my brain. Has the wheel turned so far? Do the people of the dragon return to the first covenant? But you wear a sword. That is neither now nor then. And he has no idea what he's talking about. Yep, I'm sure. No, it's gone. You're welcome here. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not going to get into too much detail. We'll talk about that in future books, starting around book 3 for the most part, 3 and 4. But yeah, some of the things he's throwing out there are general. In fact, he does it later, too. And when Matt mentions the Abendasora, the Tree of Life, and he turns around and says, well, why don't you tell him about it? It's because he thinks he's Aiel, because Rand looks like an Aiel now. As Loyal has said, like so many others throughout this book, have called him an Aielman. Tom did at one point. So, so he sees him as an Aielman. So he's talking to him like he's Aiel. It's just weird. Like that keeps happening over and over and over again to Rand.
Wait, hold on. Go ahead. You confused me. Like,
I'm good at that.
The Child of the Dragon, why would that be an Aielman?
Not that one. But they are, the Aiel are the people of the dragon. That's the way they're referenced. And I shouldn't have said that because that comes up later, but it's not a major thing.
But, okay. Well, then that makes more sense. Because he said Child of the Dragon. That's why I was thinking that he was like, kind of being like, well, you're the
I do think there's some of that too. Now, he doesn't call him Luz Theron or anything like that.
Right.
But yes, I do think there is some of that in there as well. Absolutely.
But then you're right, where he says, do the people of the dragon.
Yes.
Then you're right, because when they talk about the Aielmen, because they don't carry weapons.
They carry spears.
Yeah.
But never a sword.
Right.
The Aiel do not use swords. So he's like, well, that's neither then nor now. It's like, that's weird.
Like, okay, so then that makes much
sense. I find it interesting that everybody in this world seems to have weapons, and nobody finds it odd at all that everybody seems to have a weapon of some kind. That's a pleasant world to live in, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I also thought it was strange where the green, like, the scar that the Green Man has. Like,
yes. And they never really explain it.
Yeah, but it's like where he's like, like how he touched his head, and he seemed confused, and it's like, did something happen to him, you know, that scrambled his brains a little bit.
Right, and I feel like, to a degree, some of it is just comes from being lonely, just being there by himself all the time, and he's been there for 3,000 years.
Well, he was created to protect. Yeah.
That became his purpose. Yes, that's not why he was created, but that did become his purpose.
That's why he's
He was created to create life, to create trees, to create, you know.
After the breaking of the world.
Yes, and then it became, we need somebody to
protect
the eye of the world. And there were, he wasn't the only green man. He's just the last. Like, there were others. There's a name for him. I just can't think of what it is, so. But yeah. Poor guy. I think I've got, whatever that movie was with, Tom Hanks, where he talks to Wilson, the volleyball. Wilson.
Castaway.
Yeah, there you go. That's how I picture. I mean, he's just all by himself. Just, gee, I sure hope somebody comes walking my way today. So, that would suck. All right, so Moraine tells the Green Man that they've come to see the Eye of the World, and the Green Man agrees to take him there. And that's kind of where I end this chapter. Anything else on chapter 49? Nope, man. That's pretty much it. Way to hog all the spotlight, Andy. All right, chapter 50, Beans at the Eye. This is probably my shortest notes out of any chapter we've done. So the Green Man leads him to the Eye of the World, telling him how it was created. You know, goes through the story of you had the male and the female Aes Sedai, that there were 100 of them, and they actually sacrificed their own lives to create the barrier that that locked the Dark One in his prison, along with the Forsaken. That's kind of bold. You get that a lot in fantasy type stories where by giving your life, you've almost made it more powerful. You know, I mean, well, hell, look at religion. I'm not going one way or the other with Christianity, but is that not kind of what happened with Jesus? He gave his life and that made his story more powerful. You know, I mean, so they reach the eye and they're approached by two disgusting looking beings. I mean, just it's a nightmare what goes through my head and thinking about how they describe Aghanor and Balthamol. And they're forsaken. They're the first two to be released. And Moraine kind of mentioned that they must have been on the outside of the boar, like right on the edges, and that's why they were able to be released.
Right.
There's no guarantee that that's correct, but that's kind of the idea. So, Lan attacked and he stopped easily. Just no issues there. And Nynaeve attacked because, yeah, if Lan can't beat him, then surely Nynaeve can beat him. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And then Egwene decides she's going to attack and Rand tackles her. Like, no. Like, come on. So.
Yeah.
Green Man had walked off, but he comes back and he's pissed. He's like, you're not supposed to be here. Get back in your hole. And they're like, no. So he killed Balthamol, but he died as a result. In the attack, he died as well. Sad. Moraine attacked Aghanor as kind of almost like a distraction. Like she can't defeat him, but she attacks him and she tells everybody else to run. As they run away, and Egwene can hear Moraine screaming in pain. So that's a very pleasant chapter. Just lots of happiness and joy in that one. So, thoughts on chapter 50?
Well, I thought it was strange because go in.
Right, he was the guardian, but he would
he
not
guardian,
go any further.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, the Eye of the World itself was a pool of
Saidi. Yes.
You know, so that's all the male power right there.
Yeah, untainted. So it doesn't have, it doesn't have the Dark One's touch on it. It's just pure male power. So yeah, it's kind of scary what you can do with that.
And I also thought it was strange that Matt said that he wanted to see the Tree of Life, too, and the Green Man said that the Tree of Life wasn't here, and he hadn't rested
under the Tree of Life for like 2,000 years. Yeah.
And Moraine's like, Matt, we didn't come here for the fucking Tree of Life.
Yeah, come on, get with the program here. There's Forsaken chilling over there, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to see the tree. So there's some foreshadowing to that. He does get to see the Tree of Life at some point.
That's what I figured. Something at the...
I think they find it in that upcoming chapter. Are you talking about the horn?
Yeah, hold on.
I think it's in chapter 51 or 52 that you're looking for.
When did I think that they found it? Because then there was, then they, you know, because it's when they came out when the Forsaken attacked them. Yeah. So they, I guess they didn't. They just found out what the one tower was for the pool.
Yep. So the horn and the Quendiar circle, the broken Quendiar, and the dragon banner, those are all inside the Eye of the World. They're inside the pool. So until the pool is drained, they don't right. get there. So
okay, yeah. There was just so much to unlock. That's why I was like, what?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there wasn't so much in Chapter 50. There just wasn't a lot there. Yeah. It was a quick little battle. Our guys look like they're way overpowered, and everything's going to end badly, and this is going to be a one-book series where the bad guy wins. That's what it looks like in Chapter 50. So
I jumped ahead.
You did. But that's okay. You jumped ahead into today's reading, so that's acceptable. All right. Chapter 51, Against the Shadow. So this is when it starts picking up again, I think. So Rand goes running up a steep hill that just seems to get steeper and steeper the farther he runs. And he gets to the top, and he sees that it's just a big drop, like a 100-foot drop. And he's like, well, that sucks. So he turns around to go back down.
This is like in a vision, right, though?
Yeah.
He's like in a vision.
It has to be, because Aghanor's just going up the hill like it's nothing.
Right.
You know, but yeah, he turns around and Aghanor's waiting for him, doing his evil things. I picture him with his little evil laugh.
Yeah.
So Rand fills himself with the one power, and Aghanor flips out, just flips his crap.
Yeah.
And Aghanor starts filling up with the one power himself. And he's like, you can't have it. It's mine. Get lost. It's mine. I called it. I called shotgun. Okay. So they're almost having a power off, seeing who can fill themselves up more. And Rand wins and Aghanor loses. Aghanor ends up taking in too much of the power and just burns himself out of the pattern. I mean, he's just gone. So pleasant end for our bad guy there. Kind of anticlimactic a little bit, too. But that's okay, because he's not our primary bad guy. He's like the henchman. He's like the Rocksteady and Bebop from the Ninja Turtles, you know? We're looking for Shredder, not his little...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Goons. So he pulls in even more sighting, Rand does, and he, this is kind of weird. He sees the battle at Tarwyn's Gap, and he's kind of down there, but he's kind of not. And a Fade sees him, a Murdral sees him, and directs the drag car, like the vampires, basically, is what I see drag car as, to attack Rand. And Rand calls down lightning to kill him. So they're all gone. And then he creates this wall of fire that envelops the Trollocs and essentially ends the battle right there. I mean, there's still a few left. He doesn't kill them all, But he basically takes a complete lost cause and single-handedly creates a gigantic win out of it. So
yeah, he kind of acted like Moraine when the Trolloc.
Yeah, yeah, it was like Moraine to the nth degree. You know, like
exactly.
Yeah, like exactly. Super Moraine. Like I think that scene that we just went over would be great in a movie or a TV show.
Oh yeah.
I just think that would be, to see that whole thing would just be fantastic. But, so he hears a voice calling him the Chosen One, kind of. He's Anakin. And he steps, and some steps appear. So he's walking up the steps and in complete darkness, and he comes upon a wooden door. And that opens to the same chamber that he's been seeing in his weird dreams he's been having, and with Bazelmon, and Bazelmon's...
Call them nightmares?
Yeah, they are, but they're beyond nightmares, because they're worse than nightmares, you know, they can...
Right.
You know, they're nightmares that can actually hurt you.
Yes.
So, you get thorns stuck in you and stuff. Didn't he do that once? Yeah. Rats break their backs, you know.
Exactly.
So Bazelmon's there, seated in front of his fireplace, doing evil things. You know, I picture him, you know, figuring out his finances and, you know, making sure he has enough to go on his evil ways, you know. So, it's like, damn, those other Forsaken are just spending too much money. But anyway, back to the real world here, or the fake world, if you will. We're the fake world inside the fake world. Inception style here. So Bazelmon tells Rand to kneel to him and basically says, you have no chance of winning, you know, but I can train you and I can make you stronger and I will make you better. And Rand denies him, like he has throughout the entire book every time the situations come up. And then Rand's mom pops up and warns him about the father of lies and how he controls death and he has her and... yeah, that not looking good for good guys.
Yeah.
So Rand ends up finding he finds himself holding a sword of light. What are your thoughts of this, of the sword of light?
I'm wondering if it's his actual sword that he's carrying.
Not. It is.
It's not, but like it channels it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It almost gives him the idea because it's Heronmark too.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, it's almost like, okay, I had this sword, and this is my sword of Sidene, which I'm modeling after this sword I have. I agree.
Yeah.
Again, another scene that I think would be great on TV is him, like, creating this sword of light, just appearing. Like, all right, Bazelmon, let's go.
Yeah.
I got my sword, so my S word. But, So Bazelmon tells Rand that he'll teach him how to properly wield the power, which I think is kind of funny since Rand just created a sword out of nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, I'm okay. Thanks, dude. And Rand, like, cuts the black cord that's, like, coming out of his back, and that kind of hurled Bazelmon into the fireplace. And flames filled the room, and Rand falls through endless black and is knocked out.
Yeah.
Weird scene. Bazelmon doesn't seem like he came out of it feeling the best. So because you have to assume that there were flames in that fireplace as well. So probably a little warm. And it just sounds awful. Like, throw him in the furnace. So thoughts on chapter 51?
Well, I thought it was very... Just how Bazelmon seemed to, like, underestimate...
Isn't that what evil does, though?
Yes. You know, he's like, you're a fool, you're a slug, you can't do anything, I need to teach you how to do it. And Rand is just like, yeah.
Again, in both fantasy and religious doctrine and, like, horror stories, evil tends to destroy itself. Evil fights evil and eats itself alive, basically, so... And it's the same concept here, that the biggest enemy of evil is not good, it's actually evil. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That the threat, like, he finally broke maybe the thread that Balsamon had to him, like, where he can find him. Like, that's what I was...
That's what severing the black cord is. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. I never really thought of it that way, but I like that, so...
Just because it's like, you know, because how he was saying, he saw, you know, Balsamon was withering like a leaf, and he heard him howling, and it's like he defeated him in a sense. Thinking, you know, of course, we know that if this is only book one, there's more to come. Balsamon isn't dead.
Right, but exactly.
At least for now. Maybe broken.
Right, like...
Not to say that it might not come back.
Round one goes to Rand.
Yeah.
Now, I meant to bring this up earlier, when Aganor and Balthamol were talking, hurling their insults, they mentioned that Ishmael, that they were free just like Ishmael as well. So they're not the first Forsaken out. It appears that Ishmael was already out as well.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And then they also said that how they found them was through Matt's dagger.
Yes, yes. And that's what I was going to say, but it sounds better coming from the first time reader. I like it. So yes, they found them because of Matt. Because Matt still has that dagger and the taint that comes with it. So
yes.
So yeah, just fun time. Anything else on chapter 51? Go ahead.
Just the stuff in the head.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't good.
A whole lot. This was a busy day for him. So, let's see.
I'm thinking from this, he's going to be like, because...
So...
I believe that he...
What do I have to do today? He realized that
he's pulling from the CD.
What do I need to get done? Let's see, I need to chop some wood, maybe tend to the sheep, and then I need to draw in a bunch of Sidene and destroy the Dark One.
Yeah, because the thing is like, once it hits him, then, you know, what about being gentle?
Yeah, it's one thing to be told that you can channel. Yeah. It's another to realize that you have. You just did. A lot.
So,
I completely agree.
He just channeled, and he channeled on his own without any training, it just came to him.
And he can't say that it was Moraine doing it with him, you know, being blamed or anything like that. Like, this was clearly him.
Yeah.
No question, it was all him. So, yeah,
no,
I agree.
It was all done for the greater good, but it was all him.
Absolutely. I like it. The Force is strong with this one. I'll just keep referencing other sci-fi. All right. Chapter 52. There is neither beginning nor end. Rand woke, and he was on that same cliff that he had met Aganor on before. And he realized that he's lying in the remains of Aganor, which is kind of gross. There's a little bit of intestine. Yeah. Nothing. You didn't want to hear that anyway. So, gross. But, so then he starts just shouting that Shaitan is dead. I killed him. Shaitan is dead. So he goes running down the hill, screaming for Egwene. And, he gets down there and he finds Egwene along with Moraine and Nynaeve. And, Moraine wants to know exactly what happened. So he, you know, they talk about it and he explains what he did and, including that he killed Shaitan, and that he realizes that he has wielded the One Power himself. So, I thought it was interesting that Moraine walks through the fact that it wasn't the first time and that she knew he could, that she was pretty sure that he could.
Yeah.
She talked about how he had healed Bella earlier. Do you remember that scene? When they were escaping the Two Rivers in the first place, Rand was all concerned about Egwene falling behind.
Right.
So when Moraine went to go heal the horses, she's healing all the horses. Well, she didn't have to heal Bella because Bella was still full of energy. And that's because Rand had been healing Bella without realizing it. His concern over Egwene was causing him to heal Egwene's horse and to make sure that that horse did not fall behind. So she realized that, which I thought was kind of cool. Kind of a nice little callback to earlier. So they talk about I already mentioned that. I'm just going to keep repeating the same line over and over again. Perrin, Matt, and Lan show up next. They return from the cavern. And they had a large chest. And this is what I think you were trying to come up with before. So they had this chest, and they had a bundle of folded cloth. They had fragments of pottery that were broken. That's how they become fragments, right? And they were happy to see that Rand was not dead, that he was alive, because all the other guys were in there with them, and then you had Rand out here with the girls. No wonder they thought he was going to be dead.
But the thing was, you also forgot, though, like, Rand still wasn't in his right mind. He was kind of, like, not remembering who they were or who he was. He was kind of still in that.
Oh, yeah. I hate to tell you this, but for the rest of the story, Rand is not in his right mind, so...
So is he starting to go crazy?
Well, it's an eventual process, but if you wield Sidene, you go crazy. That's part of it. So it's a slippery slope, but Rand is, he just wielded more Sidene than probably anybody ever has in that little battle with, I went blank. What was the name of Aghanor?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he wielded enough. You have to assume that they were pulling in the same amount at the same time. So he wielded enough for one of the Forsaken to immolate himself, you know,
right,
to destroy himself, turn himself into cinder. So when you take in that much, and especially if you're not trained in it, if you're not used to it, I feel like he got a big power bump. Like, his ability to use the power went up greatly in this one action. But in the process, he's also taking in more tank as well.
Yeah.
Like, he will never... Yes, he's already starting to be a little bit insane. Now, he gets way more insane before we're done, but it's the process has started, so...
Aw, don't tell me...
It's fun, though. Some of it's fun, some of it is not, but...
You just gave me a spoiler.
That. Well, there's some of that, too. And I'm sorry if I gave you a spoiler,
like,
but...
looked up with big eyes. It was like, just was kind of like out of it a little bit. I wasn't thinking he was crazy. Andy, you and your spoiler.
I apologize. And he's not crazy. He's just started on the slippery slope that will take him to madness. He's still mostly normal.
You're digging yourself in a bigger hole.
That's what I do.
Just shush.
Speaking of a hole, this is... probably going to get deleted, this part, but walking the dog two nights ago, and there was a little, probably a kitten, but a little orange cat that saw us coming and decided it was going to lay in this little ditch, like it could hide from us by laying in the ditch. My dog doesn't attack cats because I have a cat, and my cat eats the dog out. So he wants to attack every dog, but he could care less about cats. So we're walking past this cat, and I look over at the cat that I saw hiding in the little ditch, and this thing just, like, pops up and takes off and jumps over this fence with barbed wire on it, and I'm just like, it's like, oh, crap, I hope I didn't cause that cat to just, like, disappear himself. So I hope the cat found his way home, but it was so funny watching this cat, like, this cat thought it had this great hiding place, and then it just, like, bolts. So it was hilarious, so it was fun. But,
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Again, like, the dog didn't care. He just kept on going. So, yeah, it was funny. All right. So we've returned from the cavern with the chest and the cloth and the pottery. And Moraine took the pottery fragment. So I thought that was interesting that out of all that, that's what she takes. And she puts them together to form a circle with the ancient symbol of the Aes Sedai on it, which is the dragon fang and the, it's basically the yin and yang or whatever you call that, right. You know, and then she kind of goes into an explanation of what Quendiar is, that it's unbreakable, that even if you channel into it, it only makes it stronger, that nothing in the world can break it and has land, like, stab it and sees that nothing happens. So Matt's like, well, how did this get broken? And she explains that it's one of the seals to the Dark One's prison, and the seals are weakening, and Dark One is trying to free himself, yada yada. So,
right.
So yeah, good times, only good things ahead. So, So Moraine opens the chest, and inside she finds the golden horn, the Horn of Valir. And she explained that it needed to go to Illy, which is another borderland country. And
wasn't the sign at the end?
Yes. Finding the horn means that the last battle is around the corner. 14 books in this series, they only cover like 2.5 years. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, it's all a short time, but there are entire books that cover like a week and a half. And it's like 800 pages, so.
Mother Hubbard.
Well, you end up with like 3,000 characters and all these different storylines, and just he just spins it wider and wider and wider. I think if Robert Jordan hadn't died, the series never would have ended. I really think it would have just kept getting wider and wider and wider. But he died, and his widow looked for somebody to finish the series, and that's when Brandon Sanderson came in. She said, okay, I want you to write the last book. Here's his notes. And he's like, well, I can't do that in one book. So he made 3 very long books to finish the series. Actually got him on the map too. He was already a sci-fi writer or a fantasy writer, but by finishing this series was much bigger than anything he had ever done. So it put his name out there, and now he is the biggest fantasy, like the biggest name in fantasy writing right now, I think. So, and he writes a lot. He writes fast. Like, he writes multiple books a year, and he has his whole, like, outline of his whole world that he's created, like, how he wants to finish it. Like, he wants 6 books of this series and 9 books of this one. It's crazy. I wish I could do that. I wish I could write fiction. I don't have that ability. I tried once. I failed. I was going to write a book, and I wrote the first chapter, and it was like 1 page long, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I don't have the... And it's because I don't have the ability to describe the nature and color and vastness of the grass. You know, I mean, I was just like, boom, this is what happened. So... yeah, I don't have that. That's not the way my brain works. I wish it was, so. So she gave the horn to Loial, and because there was an inscription on it in the old tongue, and Loial could read the old tongue, because of course he can. And that inscription said, and I apologize for butchering this ahead of time, Tia Miaven Moradin Isiende Vani, which is the grave is no bar to my call. And then Lan kind of perks up and goes, wow, that's the Horn of Valir. So, because it's been found in the past, and that apparently that call, the grave is no bar to my call, is one of the Like, that's when you know, oh, wow, this isn't just a horn. This is the horn. This is the Holy Grail, if you will, right?
Holy Grail of horns.
Yeah, that's kind of how I pictured it. You know, I mean, this is that. So it's that splinter of Jesus's cross that magically heals. Okay, never mind. So Moraine next asks for the cloth, and Lan and Loial kind of unfold it and kind of show it. And that shows that it's the banner of Luz Theron Telamon. So we're just finding treasure after treasure after treasure here. That's going to sell for a lot on eBay. So that's a one-of-a-kind item. And then Rand asks Moraine if they're done. I mean, obviously, he just killed, he's killed Shaitan, right? He just killed Baalzamon. So are they done? And she said,
it's over, done with.
Yeah, and she says, yeah, no, you're good. You can now live your life as the pattern weaves it. We're all finished. You and I are never going to probably meet again. So that's chapter 52. Thoughts?
Yeah, the Dark One's not dead.
You don't think?
No.
I mean, there's only 13 more books, plus a prequel. Well,
and the thing is, I think that, you know, she kind of lets Rand think that he's dead because she can see that he's freaking out.
So plots inside plots inside plots.
Inside plots.
Those damn Aes Sedai with all their plots and manipulations.
Exactly. But yeah, it's definitely not over. I know, you know, Rand finally struck him that he used the one power, and it's freaking him out.
It's a huge moment, I think, because before that, I feel like he could, like, deny it.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no. I mean, it kind of, she says it was, but she's not being honest. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, he's, you know...
And it's not just stealing he has to worry about. You know, I mean, that's the worst of it in his mind because, you know, I mean, he's right. Got an Aes Sedai right there. Why she's going to steal him? But if other people, you know, those warriors in Faldara, where they're headed back to, were to find out that he could channel, I mean,
yeah.
He could be killed right then.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't take kindly to men who can channel. This world does not.
Exactly. And, like, with the gentle, if I recall correctly from the backing, that just blocks their ability to channel. It doesn't kill them if it's done early enough.
Correct. It doesn't kill them.
But they can still sense the one power.
Right. And the one power, either male or female, whoever is drawing on it, I see it as bliss. You know, I mean, like, it's what you want. Like, when Egwene earlier in the book was talking about the first time she could feel it, she's like, she just wants that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. It's like, once you have that power, you just want that power.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's almost like a heroin addict.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
To it. And definitely, you can't do anything to take care of that itch.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. It's like being addicted to heroin. That's exactly right. And having that needle, like, just outside of arm's reach, and you can never reach it.
About it.
Yeah.
But on the flip side is she'll go crazy and you'll die.
Right, right. I mean, it's pleasantness ahead of him. He knows that, you know, I mean, good times are coming up for him.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's a lot of things in it. But, you know, there's still Tavern, and there's still things that need to be done.
Perhaps.
The final battle still needs to be made, you know, so it's...
But it's, Rand sees this as he just won the final battle, right? He just killed Shaitan, right?
Because it's going to bring back the heroes that are long dead.
But the horn has not been mentioned in our prophecies we've seen either.
But I thought that's why everybody keeps talking about the horn.
Oh no, you want the horn because it brings back the, it can bring back the, you know, the heroes from
of
legend.
Yeah.
But it's not specifically mentioned in the prophecies of the dragon that we've seen. You know, the final battle can happen without the horn.
It would be used that.
Yes, it's a precursor to the final battle, you would think.
Right.
But again, this is, it could be an unreliable narrator as well, because we're just assuming that. I mean, we're going back 3,000 years and we don't have...
Marie said that it needed to get, they needed to get the horn to...
Ilion. But is Moraine always right?
She has a pretty good track record.
She has a good track record, but she's not infallible. She makes mistakes. She made mistakes in this book in underestimating the value of Matt and Perrin and not fully realizing what she had in Egwene and Nynaeve. You know what I mean?
But I don't think that she would underestimate that the Dark One was dead.
I don't disagree with you. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think she's just coddling.
I'm not saying that the horn doesn't come into play in any way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's not mentioned in the prophecies of the dragon that we've seen. So it's not necessarily... The final battle's going to be there, whether the horn's there or not.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no... You can't just be like, oh, well, since we didn't find the horn, I guess there's no final battle. We win. Shaitan loses. You know, that's just...
Yeah.
That's not how the world works. All right. Chapter 53. The last chapter of the book. Titled, The Wheel Turns. Kind of fits. So, the Blight quickly, like, swallows up the area that the Green Man was protecting, which is kind of sad. The heat's returning, you know, and basically this area that's been protected by the Blight is no longer protected. So they're getting ready to head back to Faldara, and Loyal, it's like, he's like, well, it's not right for this tree brother to fall to the Blight. So he kind of does some Loyal magic. And uses his singing and basically creates a small little area in the Blight that will never be overtaken by the Blight.
That
doesn't it? Nice catch. I agree. And you know what? It's never fully fleshed out necessarily. But yeah, I agree. 100% agree. So you have these tinkers that have been walking around for seemingly hundreds or thousands of years looking for the lost song, and then you have this Loyal who's able to sing to the trees and make them grow, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
because, and that's all that they were about, was like
peace and love,
the
and
song of the tree. Yeah,
you know, they're hippies, so actually they're gypsies, but more or less.
Yes.
So at least that's how I see them. So they'll steal your babies and, you know. All right. So they ride into the Blight, and they're, like, completely assuming that they're going to have to, like, fight their way through again. That worm's just going to be hanging out there going, I knew you'd come back eventually. So, but they ride through, and nothing attacks them. It's like they get a free ride back. So makes it so that this long book is not 400 pages longer. So... And then, as they're moving south, the Blight fades, and eventually they get to that that borderland of the Blight. They see the forest that's red now with new growth, so the world is almost looks like it's starting to repair itself. They get to the border, and they're greeted by men laughing with joy. Everybody's happy. You know, the world is better than it's been forever. They won this great battle that... at Tarwyn's Gap, and they can't believe that, like, they rode into a hopeless situation and they came out on top. I mean, everybody's just, there's going to be babies created from this day. You just know there are. So.
Oh, yeah.
So when they reach...
So Matt did more dream than he thought.
Yeah, it appears so, doesn't it?
So his little vision that he saw with his mighty sword.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, he basically changed history, change what happened, what was going to happen. So they get to Faldara, and the soldiers there are celebrating as well. So it's not just on the border here. I mean, like, all of Faldara's celebrating. They make their way to Ingtar, and Ingtar's pissed because he didn't get there in time to fight, which I think is hilarious. He's like, "This is bull. I had to take you to the Blight, and because of that, I didn't get to kill any." Poor guy. Yes, I'll tell you, I'll sit this one out. I have no problem with that. You guys can all go fight. I'm gonna watch TV for a while. So.
Exactly.
But Moraine insists on being brought to Aglamar, and Aglamar tells her at least that the soldiers say that the Light took on flesh and fought for him, and that the Creator walked into the gap and won the battle for him, basically. And he mentions that he saw a man, and that what that man did cannot be. That man did what that man is not allowed to do, that man cannot do.
Yeah.
Basically saying he saw Rand and Rand channeled, and that can't happen. So, yep. But he doesn't seem to recognize that it was Rand. At least in my opinion, yep. He doesn't.
No. So, well, I think that no one would recognize, because who would think that a sheep herder, he was probably surrounded by the Light.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, I think he was just like this nimbus of Light. So.
Yeah.
Moraine's answer is to tell him that the wheel weaves as the wheel wells. Get used to that. This isn't the last time you're going to hear that. So, every time I see that, I assume it's Moraine. And there are times that other characters in the story say it. Not very many, but a few. But I still hear it. Yeah. In my head, I will always hear it in Moraine's in my head voice. So, yeah. No matter who says it, that's a Moraine-ism, you know? Hey, Moraine, we have this difficult problem. What's the answer? Well, the wheel weaves as the wheel wills, which is a terrible answer because it doesn't say anything. So she pulls out the Horn of Valyr, and he's like, "Oh my God." It's like, "I'm going to take that to the Blasted Lands, and I'm going to level Shale Ghul, and all of our problems are over. We win, they lose. Everything's good." And she says, "No, that's not how it works, bud. We're going to take this to Ilion, and I'd like an escort." It's basically what she says. And the idea is that the horn will not
all the, you know, as many as needed, all the best.
What is glory is the enemy of the horn. If you seek glory, it will not do what you want it to do, basically, right? Second, Indiana Jones, the one where Sean Connery's in it. There was something from that came to my mind, but I can't think of what it is.
Alice?
Yeah, and there he's going across the, like, the little bridge where he has to pick the right steps.
The right cup.
No, before that, on their way there, he's going through the, he's got, I think he has to spell out Jehoshaphat or something like that. I don't know, it's been a few years. When I think of that book, that movie, I actually think of him telling Sean Connery, and I said, "Don't call me Junior," but that's all I ever think about. So, Sean Connery's such a great actor, or was. Has he died? He's old if he hasn't. So. Hell, he was Harrison Ford's dad in that movie, and Harrison Ford's old. All right. Tangents upon tangents. 7 days later, Rand has just finished up practicing the sword with Lan, which he seems to be doing a lot these days. And he meets up with Egwene and lets her know that he's getting ready to leave. He's going by himself. She can't come with him. He's not going home. He'll never go home again. Kind of sadness. But basically, the idea is that he knows he's going to go crazy and he doesn't want to kill all the people he loves. Yeah. So he's just going to wander out into the wilderness and be a hermit, is yes. how I take that. He's going to become Elias without the wolves. So
exactly.
Kind of sad. But this wouldn't be much of a series if that's what actually happens. So,
right.
And then we switch to Moraine's perspective for 3 minutes. And she's sitting in Agelmar's, not even 3 minutes actually, but she's sitting in Agelmar's private garden with her little blue gem in her fingers. Mm-hmm. And you see the glow of the gem kind of fade away, and she smiles, whispering that the prophecies will be fulfilled and that the dragon is...
Yeah, she was all, you know, her little sneaky gem that let her, like, listen in.
Yeah, kind of unfair that she has that, too. Not only can she wield the power, but you can't even have a conversation with her nosing in.
I know.
That's some bull. But cue the ending music. And that is the Eye of the World. Final thoughts on this chapter.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
And you get to wait to see what happens next because you don't get to read next week. Next week, we are going to kind of, it's probably going to be a much shorter episode, but we're going to just kind of talk about the overarching themes of this book and, you know, what we think has happened, what we think is going to happen moving forward. Anything that Andy hasn't ruined of the future story. You know, I mean... And once again, as always, you can reach out to us. We didn't get any stories, so there's no winner this time. Guy in St. Louis, who every week downloads this, leave us a review. Anybody reading this? Do please leave us reviews on iTunes or Amazon Music or whatever else.
Faithful follower?
We have two. There's one guy in South Africa, I think. Although he might be in America now. I don't know if he's white, but aren't we bringing all the South Africans in? Is that too much? Okay, never mind.
That's too much. So we have two faithful listeners. Wow.
Yeah, so this is one guy in St. Louis. Every time I post a new episode within a day, he's downloaded it or listened to it. So
how do you know it's a guy? Could be a girl.
Very well, could be a girl. In fact, I hope it is a girl. I don't know why it just felt right. But yes, so this person, assuming it's a person and not a cat that's figured out how to download and listen to podcasts.
Our faithful listener.
We have our faithful listener, but he won't do anything that I ask him to do, or her. Or it. Will not. They. Because I have this whole picture of him in my head. Like, even the way he looks and everything, his height, his weight, he's in my head. His eye color, it's all there. I'm sure I will. I hope I am. You may be right. We'll never know because they won't leave us a review. So please review us. You can listen to us and, you know, through iTunes or really any of the other ones as well. What's the big podcast listener? Podchaser or something like that is one of them. And what's the other big one? Give me a second. I downloaded
it. I just talk with you.
Yes, you do. And you do a good job of it. I think I downloaded it on my phone. Where is it? I'm disappointed in myself.
But Mother Nature is calling me.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to finish this. Next week, we will be talking talking about our overarching opinions of this and what we think is going to be coming up in the next book. And then the week following, we will start book two, which is The Hunt for the Horn. So,
yay!
So yes, in 2 weeks, Wendy will be happy again. So I will see you next week and start thinking about stories you can write about book two, because damn it, I want our contest to have a participant.
Okay.
All right. I will see you next week, Wendy.
And I'll see you Monday.
And I'll see South African and St. Louisian next week as well. All right. Bye.